Welcome to this edition of the Heartfelt Ministries podcast with your host, counselor, author, women's minister, and Bible teacher, Dr. Joneal Kirby. Each week, Dr. Kirby, aka Dr. Mom, will give you practical life encouragement as she hits on topics like, do you want your kids to know and love God? Are you struggling with time to make memories with your children? Do you want to build a legacy of faith in your family? Is it your deep desire to have a stronger marriage? How can you be a good friend in today's social society? Dr. Kirby shares her heart with you, hoping you'll be refreshed and blessed each week. Heartfelt Ministries is an international women's ministry helping women all over the globe reach God's potential for women based in Titus 2. Now, for today's podcast, here's our host, the founder of Heartfelt Ministries, Joneal Kirby.
Well, today I'm sitting in my closet recording because I can't get out of my road to get to the church where the recording studio is. And so I'm sitting in my closet in the dark. Well, actually, I have my iPhone light on because it is the quietest place in my house. And if the power were to happen to come back on, it would still be fairly quiet. Of course, if you've listened to my other podcast, oftentimes I'm not in a recording studio. You heard me probably a few weeks ago with my little grandson, Towns. He and I were on the back porch because it was just too pretty a day to go inside and record. So, you probably will hear all kinds of noise in other recordings, but for this particular one, I am in the closet in my quiet place because today I want to bring to you a Bible study that I've written recently about Abigail. But before I do that, I have something on my heart, and I'm just hoping you'll let me be real with you today and you'll just hear my heart on this. A few days ago, a precious baby girl was born into the world to one of my dearest young friends. He grew up many, many days in my home as my son's closest friend, and he spent a lot of time hanging around with our family because his mother was so generous with her time with him to allow us to have Dennis in our home. And so he really grew up as one of my sons, and he and his wife had a precious baby girl just a few days ago, and I am so thrilled for them, and she is absolutely over the top gorgeous. And I adore her just like I do all my grandbabies. And so I consider her as one of the most precious babies ever on the face of the planet, as I do all my grandbabies. And I just wanted to tell you something that just blesses my heart. His grandmother, who is my best friend, wrote me a note this morning, sent me a new picture of our little precious Scotty Grace, and said, "And Dennis has changed every diaper." You know, that just made me tear up because I have a son and a son-in-law who are just like that. They are so servant-minded towards their family, and changing baby's diaper is just not above their pay grade. And I'm so blessed by that. And I will tell you, I do not believe it's because we raise these young men of this generation to do that. I believe that is the love of Jesus in their hearts. I really do believe that these young men, these young daddies who are now raising our grandkids are so servant-minded and so loving and so much a part from the very beginning of their babies and children's lives because Jesus is guiding their lives. And I am so thrilled with that because I'm hearing so many cultural things about young daddies today. And fathers are just not respected in our entertainment world, and they're made fun of, and they're looked at as buffoons and foolish people that don't make good decisions. Or they're single dads who are more like Disney dads. And that's not what I'm seeing, folks. I'm so blessed. And I know you that are listening to me feel that way too. When you have a son or a son-in-law or a grandson that you see loving their families well, changing a baby's diaper, that's not a pleasant experience for anyone unless you adore that baby, and nothing is beyond doing whatever you can to help that baby thrive. So I just had to share my heart on that because I think we can think about these young daddies, these sons-in-laws and grandsons with such praise of the Father. Praise for what God is doing in their lives, that their children are growing up with loving, demonstrative, affectionate, involved, caring men as their daddies. What a day, what a time for us to praise the Lord that these believing fathers are such caring, caring gentlemen in their family. All right, let's get on with this Bible study, which I'm so pumped about, y'all, because this last year, I got so heavenly involved in the study of David, just reading the scriptures and trying to figure out what it is about David that caused him to be called a man after God's own heart. I mean, we know David's story, and we know although he did slay the giant and as a young boy was just held up by Saul and given such a promise of leadership by being anointed a king so early in his life, we do know that there were so many times where he disappointed God and was not the man that God had intended him to be when he was that little shepherd boy. So what was it about David that caused him to be loved so much by God and become such a strong, godly leader that the time of Christ's birth is traced all the way back to the leadership of King David? What is that about? Well, I'm going to tell you more about that later, but I will tell you that what it led me to was a study of the women in David's life. There were lots of them, and we know some of their stories are stories of sin and degrading of women. There's stories of his daughter Tamar, and then the story of Michael, his first wife, and of course the story of Bathsheba. But today, I want to share with you a story about Abigail. Abigail became David's wife, but there's a story before that happened. The story of her becoming his wife is the rest of the story. But do you know the story of Abigail before that? In the scriptures, we're told in 1 Samuel that Abigail was the wife of a wealthy landowner. If you will look in 1 Samuel 25, you'll read her story there of how she and Nabal were married because her father wanted to make a political trade. And that's oftentimes how women were married off, because their fathers needed something from the person that they were giving them their daughters to. And he was a wealthy landowner, and her father was not a bad man. But this is just the custom. The culture was an arranged marriage. So Abigail was a very beautiful and intelligent woman. Her name actually means joy of her father. So we know Abigail was a well-loved and cherished daughter. And there are so many good things that are written about her. And, you know, as being married to this man who was so wealthy and privileged, she should have lived a life of privilege and free of care. But Nabal was a fool. That's what the Bible tells us. And he was a drunkard, and that made her life very unsettled and insecure. And they were people of wealth and had lots of possessions, but she did not have the privilege of being protected by a wise and caring husband. Instead, Abigail trusted in God and used the wisdom and grace that he gave her in order to survive in the wilderness land in the middle of all the midst of acreage and thousands of acreage of their land. She lived far away, centered there on this land, unprotected by her husband and unsupported by her family because she was not close to them. But Abigail became an amazing instrument of peace. Now, David at this time was a fugitive. He was running and hiding out from the anger of King Saul, but he had a supportive army of men. And as he was still out living in the fields, hiding in caves, David was so fearful of the jealous anger of King Saul that he sought the wilderness. And he had a band of, well, approximations of how many are 400 to 600. And they all lived in fields and around the sheep flocks, because remember, David was a trained shepherd. And they found themselves living close to the sheep flocks of Nabal. And they became friends of the shepherds overseeing Nabal's flocks. Now, God wanted David to go back to Judea. And there was a situation that happened that brought him back. Here is a version of the biblical story of Abigail and David. It is fictionalized and dramatized, but I hope you will see as you read the biblical account in 1 Samuel 25 that this follows very closely with additions of, let's say, poetic, dramatic license. It follows that biblical account. So here we are, the story of Abigail and Nabal. "What is it?" Abigail asked when she heard the commotion in the next room. "It's one of the men," the servant girl tried to explain. "Madam," a red-faced man said as he brushed past the girl, "it's your husband." The servant bowed low before her. "I'm afraid he's..." "Well, go on," Abigail urged. "What's Nabal done this time?" "Madam, he insulted David. David!" the man answered, obviously upset. "David?" Abigail's hand flew to her long, slender throat. Abigail had heard that David and his men were in their territory. "Oh my, please go on. Tell me, what's happened?" "Well, David sent his messengers from the desert to give our master Nabal his greetings. They had been in the wilderness for a long time, and so they also asked for food and water. But instead of receiving this greeting and feeding them out of our abundance, our master hurled insults at David's men. Madam, these men have been very good to us. They've never mistreated us. In fact, as we have been in the fields with them, they have many times offered us their protection, and we have fared well working beside them. They have acted as a wall around us, both night and day, and they've made us safe in the fields as we were herding the sheep. I am very concerned about how David will respond to Master's insulting behavior. Please, madam, please see what you can do so that evil will not be done against us. Our master is such a fool. I'm so sorry to say that to you, but we cannot reason with him. Will you please, please see what you can do?" Abigail took a deep breath, closed her eyes, and thought about the awful things that may happen as a result of her husband's drunken temper. She knew that she must gather her wits and courage and deal with this situation wisely. It wasn't the first time that her harsh, impudent husband had put them in danger. She knew that she must be strong for her household. But how could she appease David after such outrageous behavior by her husband? It was a time of feasting for those in the shepherding business. It was shearing time, and there were regular huge feasts being prepared for the families and the servants. Abigail knew that she could have a huge meal prepared at a moment's notice. She also knew of David and his might and fury. She had heard stories. She knew that he was capable of bringing immediate punishment for her husband's rash actions. She had no time to persuade her husband to undo his thoughtless, drunken deed. She could not wait, and she mustn't hesitate. There was no time. She must act now.
So Abigail hastily ordered preparation of 200 loaves of bread, 2 large jugs of wine, 5 roasted sheep, 5 measures of grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and had them loaded onto donkeys. After this was done, Abigail said to her servants, "Now saddle my donkey for me. I plan on accompanying you to talk to David." Her maidservant looked at her with much concern in her eyes. "Please, Mistress Abigail, I beg your forgiveness for what I'm about to say. But your husband, Master, he is not worth it. Please don't put yourself in such danger because of him." Abigail quickly responded, "We're already in danger because of my husband. There is too much at stake here. Now come, I must go, and go quickly." Abigail began the journey, knowing she was going to meet a challenging and dangerous situation. On the way, she was mustering all the strength and calling on all the wisdom she had to work for her now. In order to save her home, her friends and servants, and her own life from total destruction, she must convince David to spare them. Somehow, she must make him understand. She thought carefully of what she wanted to say to him. Surely God would not fail her now. She trusted in him. Abigail believed that as a faithful God, he would help her to remedy this terrible state they were in. As Abigail rode into the ravine where David and his men had been, she saw that they were actually riding towards her. There were at least 600 men riding towards them. He was so outraged and talking with such anger, she could hear David's voice over the hoofbeats of the donkeys and horses. David's voice. "This has been a useless job that we have been doing. I've risked my life and those of my men by offering my protection to this man. He is missing nothing of his because I have guarded his flocks. And now he has returned evil for good. I will destroy everything and everyone in his possession. And may God deal severely with me if I don't." As Abigail heard David's angry threat, fear instantly built up in her throat and she was terrified. But then, just as quickly, a thought came to her. "No, I can't give in to fear. My household and all that we have depend on me. I have to be strong. I have to do this." She knew then what she must do and what she must say. God had given her courage and the words. Abigail stopped her donkey right in front of David and his men. She quickly got out of her mount saddle and bowed low to the ground at David's feet. "Oh, my Lord, please let me take the blame for what has happened. Allow your maidservant to humbly speak to you. Please, my Lord, do not pay attention to the foolishness of a man as worthless as Nabal, for his name is, so is he. Please, I, as your maidservant, did not get to greet your men when they visited us, and so I could not attend to them. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from shedding blood by vengeance, allow the Lord God to deal with your enemies. For surely God will deal with the ungodly person, master." Abigail could not believe the words that she was finding the courage to say, but she continued her speech to David. After all, he was listening to her. "My master, the Lord God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for you because you fight the Lord's battles. Surely evil will not find you or be in you for all of your days. Lord and master, my husband is a fool, as his name says, and God will deal with him." Feeling suddenly calmer, Abigail pulled herself up, and with a dignity she didn't feel, Abigail adjusted her linen head wrap and presented the food gifts that she had brought to David. "Now please forgive any wrong that I have done and accept this gift which your maidservant has brought to you, my Lord, and please give it to your young men for nourishment." With another gracious bow, Abigail added, "And should anyone pursue you to take your life will surely be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God and the lives of your enemies. God will hurl them away out of the pocket of a sling." Abigail knew that David was listening to her. She also sensed that David, who had been a hero of Israel in years past, had been chased into the life he lived now by the wrath of King Saul. She was aware that someday David could be the unifying force in Israel. She must have known by God's providence that David was destined to be king. And so she said, "When the Lord has done for you every good thing that he has promised concerning you and has appointed you leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the grief of a troubled heart over shedding blood through vengeance." Abigail's heart beat faster as she added, "Master, when the Lord has brought success, I ask that you remember your servant." Abigail grasped the consequences that could occur because she had spoken so boldly to David. Would he listen to her? Would he be angry because she was so outspoken? Would he understand and be moved by her plea? She prayed silently. "Please, God, do not allow David to take matters into your hands. Why should he risk everything that you have given him and all that you have promised him for a moment of revenge against a fool?"
Well, David did listen to him again.
"For the revenge would have been my own. And as the Lord God of Israel lives, I would have taken Nabal's life and all of his men and servants before morning light. But because you came quickly to greet me, you have restrained me with your discerning words." David had the nourishing food that Abigail had brought distributed to his men and thanked her again. "Go now to your house in peace. I have listened to you, and I grant your request." Well, we can see that this lesson that we are learning now from 1 Samuel really focuses on the attitudes and the actions of three persons. One who responded in anger and foolishness, one who responded in haste and retaliation, and one who responded in peace and wisdom. Is there not a lesson in this for us as God's women?
Do we have situations where we have
just in our world where we can make the choice to respond in anger and foolishness, in haste and retaliation, or we can be that woman who responds in peace and wisdom as Abigail? Tune in next week for the rest of this story. How did King David get back to Judea? How did Abigail help him to get there? And what happened to Nabal and all his properties as a result of David and Abigail's meeting? Thanks for listening today on the podcast, and I cannot wait for next week. I'll see you soon on the Heartfelt Podcast.